This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Well, we have 400 schools plus that have either called off or are doing virtually no learning. I mean, virtual learning today. So that's the impact of the snowfall that happened overnight. Listen, you can always pick up the podcast here, but you should go back and listen to our interview with MoDOT engineer Bob Becker last hour about 6:20. You can find it wherever you download your podcasts, the Odyssey app, 971talk.com. We've found out from him that they were out early this morning. The snow stopped about 3. It wasn't as deep as we thought it would be in a lot of places. There are clearly some places in Reynolds County and further south that got 8, 9, 10, 11 inches. But in the immediate St. Louis area, where the major commute routes might be on 70, 64, 40, 44, heading east, It's not as bad as they thought. Still some snowpack on some of the lanes, and I'm sure it's slowing traffic down. But Sue Thomas will have the latest on that for you this morning.
I mean, driving in, I know you noted this too. There was at least one lane on 64, and I think parts of 364 where you could get by, but the rest of it was snow covered. So it's nice for us because we don't have many other cars on the road at the same time. Obviously, that would complicate it if you're trying to figure out where the lanes are. But to your point, it really wasn't as bad as I was anticipating.
Going to get colder tomorrow. Clearly, one of the coldest days that we've had in this stretch of weather tomorrow morning. So it's not going away today. You might still have to shovel the driveway. At least it's a nice, dry, light snow. I did a little bit of shoveling on the sidewalk last night outside of the front door, and you could just push it.
You didn't even
way.
Need the snowblower.
You did, but you didn't.
Well,
you know,
I was looking at the forecast, and it was upper 50s by early next week. 50, I think, by Sunday, and then it just climbs from there to close to 60 by Tuesday. So that'll be a nice break.
That is going to be really nice for sure, and we're definitely looking forward to that because it's just... Nobody's got time for any more of that. We need some warmer weather. I'm ready for it. I'm done completely. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk to our friend Genevieve Wood about something that's been unveiled that the Biden administration tried to do ahead of time to thwart the Trump administration. We'll get to Genevieve Wood on that in a few minutes. Jeremy Rosenthal, attorney who's been watching some of these court decisions dealing with Doge and some other things regarding what Donald Trump and Elon Musk have been trying to do. We'll get to him at about 7:35 this morning. But right now, Carl, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
And we would love it if President Trump was in attendance. We have a room full of proud American players and coaches and staff. And listen, we're just trying to represent our country the best way we can.
That's Bill Guerin, the Team USA coach for hockey, kind of hoping Donald Trump shows up in Boston tomorrow night when they get to play Canada for the second time in a week. And tempers could flare.
We are accelerating the return of the astronauts.
Yeah. You now have the go-ahead.
Yes, well, thanks to you.
They didn't have the go-ahead with Biden. He was going to leave him in space. I think he was going to leave him in space.
President Trump once again holding a court there with Elon Musk and saying we're going to get home our two astronauts who spent an extra 6 months longer than they needed to in outer space.
One thing that definitely is clear is that the United States is now the little buddy of Vladimir Putin. Putin runs Trump. So now Trump has two daddies, Putin and Elon Musk.
Oh, who does she hate worse, Trump, Putin, or Musk? No joy in Joy Behar or Joy Reidville there. I get my joys mixed up, but there is no joy in either place.
I don't think it would have passed had it not been contained that misleading ballot language.
Missouri's new lieutenant governor shares the view many anti-abortion protesters that Amendment 3 was not well worded.
Not well worded, deceivingly worded would be a better way of putting it, I think, there for the reporter down in Jefferson City yesterday. That's the situation we find ourselves in. And that was David Wassinger, by the way, the lieutenant governor you heard there in that report. They're all a flutter down there because, according to the news media, they are encouraged now. They've renewed their vigor to fight abortion because of that court decision. Right, the court stepped in and said that that they can start providing abortions again because they have the right to do that under this law. So, Amendment 3 is back on the agenda, back in view of legislators in Jeff City, and thank goodness. Here's the further part of that story, Carl. Go to all of Cut 14, please.
I don't think it would have passed had it not been contained that misleading ballot language.
Missouri's new lieutenant governor shares the view many anti-abortion protesters that Amendment 3 was not well worded.
Now that the court has spoken on that, do you think that that is the final word?
No, I think Amendment 3, it was a very misleading ballot initiative that was presented to the Missourians. I think it needs to be repealed and replaced.
Yeah, and hopefully they're going to work on that because they have a situation here where, sort of like Clean Missouri, the legislature could vote to put this back on the ballot to let people reconsider it with different language. Like, they can just vote to do that. Mm-hmm. Now, if they telegraph that too far out, the assorted nutcakes on the left will probably also go back and try to get something put on the ballot regarding it.
We know wording matters, and yes. I heard her, the reporter, say anti-abortion. Okay, well, I would prefer pro-life, but go ahead, that's fine. Call me anti-abortion, but what that then I'd like you to say is pro-abortion.
Yes.
You wouldn't hear that. You would hear pro-choice, anti-abortion. So it's either pro-life or pro-choice or anti-abortion, pro-abortion. You can't have it both ways. I think that's what frustrates me is the wording that some of these reporters choose. The other thing, and I've been reporting on this at the top of the hour, was this bill that a conservative representative, Phil Amato, I hope I'm saying his name correctly, has introduced that would essentially create a registry of expectant mothers in the state who they say would be at risk of seeking an abortion. How they would go about coming up with that list of mothers is not clear. It would also list parents who are hoping to adopt, who have already completed certain screenings, I guess, with the goal of being able to pair them better. I get that. I don't think that's the solution. I think it's weird to create a list of people who are pregnant. I would not want to be on that list. I guess I'd be on that list now, although it's not like I would ever dream of having an abortion. I think having a list of parents who want to adopt makes sense. I would assume they already have that.
Wouldn't you think?
This bill seems odd to me. I don't know that I would support this.
Yeah, I'd like to find out more about it. I mean, maybe we have where's the guy from? Did it say
he's from the St. Louis area? I can't. Was it Ellisville? I can't remember. It's definitely a local.
I don't recognize
the name. Guy.
Interesting. Yeah, maybe we have him on to find out more about what the goal would be there. I can't imagine many women would want their information listed in a registry any more than a gun owner would want to be listed on a registry. But if you're seeking to adopt, I would think that you definitely would want your name out there if opportunities were to present themselves.
Well, yeah, I think that's one of the issues, is it's very difficult. The process is very intense to adopt. And to a certain degree, it absolutely needs to be. We need to make sure that we're pairing these children with loving parents. But there are, it just seems like there are some unnecessary hurdles. And by the way, this is Phil Amato from Arnold.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, South County guy. Well,
unfamiliar with
I'm sorry. I always say South County, but technically that's Jeffco, right?
Yep. All right, coming up, we'll get to Genevieve Wood, of course, senior advisor down at Heritage. Find out more about the Daily Signal and their reporting on the plot hatched by various blue state governors and Joe Biden to slow down the Trump administration back in the fall. We'll find out all about that right after the...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Break.
The stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas.
All right, Genevieve Wood on the phone from the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org, and of course, dailysignal.com, which is where we go to find a lot of fantastic stories you aren't going to see in other places. Genevieve, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning.
You know, I've been watching to see who, in my opinion, the prime Democrat contenders are on the bench for 2028. And the one guy that keeps popping up challenging Donald Trump is J.B. Pritzker from Illinois. I really think that guy has got his eyes on running for president in 2028. And here we go again. He was one of the ones meeting with Joe Biden before Biden left office, potentially to work out ways to thwart Donald Trump's effectiveness.
Yeah, and probably shouldn't be too surprised by it, right, Mark? But at the same time, now we're, you know, these memos have come out. We don't have all the details yet, but there's a private investigation going on into what kind of scheming was happening before Donald Trump entered the Oval Office. We know that post the inauguration, Pritzker, along with Polis from Colorado and some other Democratic judges, their staffs were coordinating a meeting with the White House to talk about what they wanted to try and do to basically stranglehold anything that Trump would try to do once he got into office, whether it was dealing with immigration policies or a whole host of other things at the state level. And look, we saw this not exact same kind of thing, but when Trump came in 2017, remember Obama and his cronies like Susan Rice were investigating Trump administration officials that were incoming. They were trying to do these kind of like probes into their background to find dirt on them. That was all going on then, and now we see them doing it again.
Yeah, Trump has come in like a steamroller on a lot of things. Maybe Pritzker's the only one physically large enough to try to stop that. I don't know. But I would think, other than these attorney general challenges, they've basically failed to slow Trump down.
Well, they fail because they're all addicted to money, and money from the federal government. And one of the first things the Trump administration does is, guess what? You don't play along. You want to continue to be a sanctuary state or a sanctuary city. We're not going to give you any more money. We're cutting off the federal money coming your way. Well, that just isn't going to last forever because these folks are addicted to the money. They've got so much tied into it. I don't think they're going to be able to last. But you finally have an administration who's willing to play hardball, not roll over dead, say, oh, goodness, now our hands are tied, we can't do it. I think Trump likely knew a lot of this was going on, expected that a lot of it would be going on, and was prepared for it in a much bigger way than he was the first time around.
Oh, I agree. A lot of the Democrats, I think, are just outraged that Elon Musk has the access that he does to some of these records. And the problem for me, for them, is that they're worried that their money could be impacted. You know, what do you make of this whole situation where Elon Musk is getting access to some of these things because he's trying to cut costs, unnecessary spending?
Well, I mean, at the IRS, thousands upon thousands of bureaucrats have access to all of our information, too. They know our Social Security numbers. It's not like he's the only person in America who has access to anything. And many people have felt persecuted by bureaucrats who have access to their information. And so, look, we all know who Elon Musk is. It's not as though President Trump is hidden him in the closet and nobody knows what this guy's doing. It's been very public about, I've asked this person, I've appointed them, which a president has the right executive power to do, to look into these different agencies and go about finding out where they have been either misallocating our money, outright fraud going on with our taxpayer dollars. And as I think we've heard time and again, and I believe completely true, we're only at the tip of the iceberg of what they're probably going to find. So I don't see a lot of Americans screaming about this. I see a lot of Democrats and a lot of people in these government agencies screaming about this. And it's not their money. See, the people who it's their money is it aren't screaming. It's the people who are spending the money that are screaming. And that ought to tell us a lot.
You know, Elon Musk is not hiding from it either. He tweeted this out yesterday in reference to John Fetterman questioning whether or not he should have access to information at the IRS. He said, his words here, bruh. If I wanted to rummage through random personal crap, I could have done it at PayPal. Hello? He had access to all of your banking information when he ran PayPal, and everybody had a PayPal account. We've still got a PayPal account. And yet you're worried now that he's going to go in and pillage your bank. He's a billionaire. It's silly season.
It's ludicrous.
It really is. Yeah. Hey, listen. Thank you for your time as always. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Talk to you
keep
soon.
Keep on keeping on.
We will do it. Thank you. Genevieve Wood there, senior advisor at the Heritage Foundation. Yeah. He owned PayPal. And now he's found millions of people Social Security has marked alive who are in excess of 110 years old. How's that a thing? Give me a break. All right. We'll get to Jeremy Rosenthal next. He's an attorney looking at some of these judge decisions regarding Donald Trump. We'll be back. All right. Welcome back. We are, of course, taking a look at all of these legal challenges that have been going on to the Trump administration. A positive decision from this Judge Chutkan, who was dealing with the allegations that Trump had led an insurrection, and of course that case got dropped. She ended up with a case challenging whether he had the authority, Doge had the authority to make some of these cuts, and she said, she ruled in Trump's favor. So once again, they seem to be moving forward with some of this. We've got Jeremy Rosenthal on the phone, of course, attorney, and we've had him on before. He's a defense attorney, founder of the TexasDefenseFirm.com. Jeremy, welcome back.
Mark, how are you?
I'm doing fine, my friend. Thank you. You know, I know one of the stories that you've been looking into was the DOJ trying to dismissing those federal charges against Eric Adams, and now the governor up there's threatening to remove him, I think.
Yeah, man. Do you guys want some legal drama today? Is that what you were in for?
Exactly.
You got plenty of it. Eric Adams was investigated by the Biden administration for bribery. The prosecutors felt pretty strongly about it. Eric Adams would tell you, and the Trump administration would tell you, that Eric Adams was being prosecuted because he was pro-Trump or pro-ICE, at least as far as New York City and immigration goes. The crux of this and why this has gotten so weird is that the Department of Justice wants to dismiss the charges against Adams, sort of. They want to hold it over his head. They don't want to dismiss it completely. They want to dismiss it with what without what's called prejudice, meaning they've made it clear so long as your views on immigration enforcement don't change, we're not going to prosecute you. And that has triggered a firestorm of resignations. And there's going to be a hearing later today in federal court on what all is going to happen here. But we can dig into this forever. This one is as bananas as Jack Clark beating my beloved Dodgers in 1980. I'll never forget.
Yeah, that's true. I love the reference. I wonder, though, Kathy Hochul is getting a lot of pressure, too. I saw Al Sharpton has even reached out to her to try to get Adams fired because, let's face it, New York City is just, it's a hotbed of progressive politics, and they are all angry that Adams might have been showing some favor to Tom Homan and anybody from ICE.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know, and I'm in Texas. I'm not aware. In Texas, I don't think, and I'd be surprised if Missouri allows a governor to just remove a mayor. I didn't know that was a thing. I thought mayors were elected too, but yeah, I mean, so if you look at it this way, Adams is pretty compromised any way you slice it. Either he's accepting bribes or he is essentially getting blackmailed by the Trump administration. In either way, he's got a lot of problems. Now, the good news for Eric Adams is he is, in some ways, this is a really lucky day for him being caught in the crossfire, because I think probably what this federal judge is going to do is going to say, okay, Department of Justice, you think that Mr. Adams was wrongly prosecuted by the Biden administration. We'll go with that. Why is it that you're still holding on to this prosecution if it's bad? Right? Why don't we just let him go for good? Why don't we want to do that? And I think the judge could legally dismiss this case with prejudice, meaning Eric Adams, you are free as a bird and you don't have to, you know, this case can never be brought back against you and take away the administration's leverage. So I think now, Eric Adams may not be the mayor much longer for whatever reason, but I think from a legal standpoint, I'm a lot more afraid of federal prison, right, than anything else if I'm him.
Yes.
So this is going to be very explosive today, already has been.
What are the odds, Jeremy, if that is what happens and they drop the federal criminal charges, that they find some way to then go after him civilly?
Good question, Kim. You're a lawyer. You think like a lawyer. I like the way you think. That's good. That certainly could be. I mean, you could try to bring, if you think that he's really guilty of bribery and this type of corruption, there's probably some state charges or some state civil liability that you could probably find and do. So I think if they were of the mindset to do that, I think that's fine. Eric Adams is up for re-election in November. And I mean, for me, I don't know. I mean, this is more of a political view than a legal view. But I mean, to me, that's what voters are for, right? I mean, if the voters are like, dude, enough, buddy. If we don't like the way that you're dealing with ICE, we can vote you out. If we think you're taking bribes, we can vote you out. If we think you're a hostage to the Trump administration, we can vote you out. Or if we love you, we'll keep you. I think that's sort of the issue here, but again, I guess you can come in and lop your head off. I guess that can happen.
Yeah, Letitia James would be the person most likely to go after him, I would imagine, if something like that happened. Hey, talking to Jeremy Rosenthal, attorney here, you got another story here that you brought up about the president. I think he signed an executive order, I could be wrong about that, that loosens enforcement of U.S. law banning bribery of foreign officials. Donald Trump says this is going to lead to more business for America. What's the story here?
Okay, so the Foreign Corruption Practices Act prohibits Americans from bribing foreign officials. And think of it like this, right? There's bribery and there's bribery, right? There's me paying my kid with an ice cream cone so she will shut up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, right. there is, you know, we're going to take the executives from wherever, Japanese corporation, and we're going to take them to a Cardinals game, buy them hot dogs and whatever. And that's sure. Okay. Can we do that or take them out to a nice meal? And then, you know, can we hand the guy from the consulate an envelope full of a whole ton of cash and not really ever get the guy's name, right? I mean, there's bribery and there's bribery. What Trump has never liked this legislation, and he thinks it's too broad. He thinks it eliminates, I would guess, and I'm not him, obviously, I think he would tell you that it eliminates nice steak dinners, you know, wining and dining officials, things like that. I can't imagine that he's okay with just straight out bribing a foreign official. What he's directed the Department of Justice to do is to take a step back, evaluate all these prosecutions that are going on under this act, and to go for what he calls a reasonable prosecution. In other words, I think he wants American businessmen to make deals.
Yeah.
And to be able to sweeten the pot, right, without giving an envelope full of cash.
If you're Senator Menendez, former Senator Menendez, handing out gold bars to foreign officials, that's bad. If you just want to take him out for a nice steak dinner, that should be okay.
That's right. And the statute doesn't really give you – the statute is all or nothing. And that I think that's what is Trump's issue with it. But yeah, we'll sort of see where it goes, and I mean, it's a hard one, I think, for him to explain. But obviously, he signed it, and he's like, "Yeah, we're doing away with this one, or at least we're not going to enforce it."
Jeremy Rosenthal, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Have a great morning.
All right, you too. Appreciate that. Jeremy always gets a baseball reference in there at some point. About the Cardinals.
It's like my husband, every time he's telling a story, he finds a way to go to use some sort of a sports analogy, and usually it's baseball.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Coming up, Kim, what are we going to be talking about in Kim on a Whim?
Well, way back when, at the height of the COVID pandemic, the former St. Louis Mayor Lyda Crewson, she basically put a pause on water shutoff. So if you couldn't pay your water bill, the city said, don't worry, we won't shut off your water. We just want you to stay home and practice good hygiene. We'll come to find out all these years later, they still have not shut off the water who aren't paying their bill. Well, wait until you hear now how much the bill for the city has racked up of people not paying their bills.
Unbelievable. We'll get to it coming up.
Kim on a Whim.
Well, 4 years ago, when we were in the middle of the COVID pandemic, the then mayor, Lyda Crewson, announced that she'd be putting a pause on water shutoffs because the idea was, well, we're asking you to all stay home. And we want you to practice good hygiene and wash your hands 5,000 times a day. So therefore, we will not shut off your water, even if you can't pay your bill. Well, the Post-Dispatch discovered that all these years later, they still have not done that. So whether you're paying your bill or not, whether you've racked up hundreds, potentially thousands of dollars in overdue bills, doesn't matter. The bill that the city has now for all of that is more than $10 million. $10 million. That's insane to me.
Wow.
It says that the number of delinquent accounts with more than $500 owed or 90 days late had swelled to approximately 19,000, which is about a fifth of total accounts. And that was, I believe, from last year.
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised at all to hear something like that.
It really is time for the people of America to take up pitchforks.
It is. I mean, when you hear something like that, that poor Claire McCaskill there, reduced to a few spare minutes on MSDNC every once in a while. $10 million. And here's the deal. If you or I quit paying our water bill or we quit paying our electric bill, they'd come out and disconnect it. This is why the city is bankrupt. This is it. How has this gone on for so long? Tashar Jones saw what happened, just let it ride? Why didn't she take some of the money from the Rams settlement and just wipe the slate clean like
because
we tried to do with student loans?
They can't. The Board of Aldermen can't agree on how to spend the Rams settlement money, so they've basically just tabled it. for this session. Last year, the Water Department's commissioner told the Board of Aldermen, guys, it's time to return to normal on these shutoffs. We have to make up this money. Or it was 2023. The Water Department came out and was like, we are so strapped financially. We are really hurting. There are all sorts of upgrades we need to make. In fact, they're trying to use, I think, federal funding. Some of the Ram settlement money, they've tossed out an idea to use that for, wow, for some of this water infrastructure, I guess, that they need to do, upgrading and things like that, which isn't sexy. No one wants to spend the Ram settlement money on water infrastructure, but that's what's happening here, is because they're hurting so bad financially, in part because of this, because people just aren't paying their bills. They're having to find some other way to do it. They had to raise the rates for the first time in years. I think it was last year or a couple years ago, 2023. They passed the rate hike, which was the first in 12 years.
Carl, I have a question for you. You live in the city.
I do.
What? Why do you bother to pay your water bill if you just didn't pay it?
I didn't know I didn't have to.
See,
well, now
that's
you have
the point.
Permission to not pay it. Nothing will happen to you. Especially until Mayor Tashara Jones' re-election bids up, because she certainly would not shut off your water.
All of the rest of you people
then.
Who have water bills right now that live in the city, just stop paying it.
Well,
like if you found out yesterday.
It's attached to trash, too. So
they're not paying their trash bill either?
They just started that this year, that they're combined on one bill now.
Okay.
So if it's been going on for 4 years...
That's probably pretty smart that they combined them, to be honest with you, because people
will
could get away. They will pay to get the trash hauled off because it stinks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Marge is saying on Marge, I assume it's Marge and not Margie on Facebook. No wonder they want to merge with the county. Well, yeah. Think about this. If St. Louis County were to agree to that, they'd be taking on all of these issues. There is no way that it makes sense for the county to merge. It makes sense for the city to want to merge because they don't want their problems. They don't know how to handle
it. That is not going to happen in my lifetime. And you may argue, well, that's not very long. That is not going to happen in my lifetime. I don't believe the city and the county will ever merge. However, I will say, I will point out once again, the city is deep blue and St. Louis County is light blue. It has moved into the blue category. It used to be sort of mixed. But even West County is turning increasingly blue these days. So you may get enough wackadoodles elected to office that they would consider inheriting all the city's problems. Let's hope they're not that stupid. Coming up, we're going to get to Chad Pergram from Fox News up on Capitol Hill and Taylor Riggs from Fox Business at the bottom of the hour. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.